Good morning. Good morning. Things on, isn't it? Got a few announcements to make. WMU meeting will be tomorrow at Miss Lucille Parham's at 3 o'clock. I mean at 10 a.m., excuse me. February the 3rd at 10 a.m. And then the Brotherhood breakfast will be Saturday. And I think we've invited the ladies to join us for that. So that'll be at 8 o'clock. So we invite you all to come to that. Then we have an announcement from the youth department. There's an event called Merge 2025. It's for the youth in Middle Georgia, grades 6 through 12. And it will meet on Friday, February the 28th at 6:30 p.m. through 10 p.m. And then Saturday, March the 1st from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. They will not is underlined, spend the night. The cost is $15. The preacher will be Blake Goss. The band is Kenny West. And the deadline to register is Valentine's Day. And you need to see Miss Belinda for more details if you have any questions. Also, I wanted to point out that on I got too many papers here. And I got fingers with arthritis. So you can tell I'm getting old. On February the 10th at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall, we're having a deacon's training. And this is for all active and inactive deacons. And we'd like for you to remember that and attend that meeting. And then we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper on February the 23rd. And that will also be a joint service with Galileo. Okay, let's prepare our minds and hearts for worship, if you'll join with me in reading the scripture. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful in things planned long ago. Isaiah 25, 21. Join me in prayer, if you would, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we come into your house. We come to your house, Lord, because it is the thing to do. It is the place to be. We come to lift praises unto your name, Lord, for your mercy and blessings and guidance upon us. We pray this morning that you will be with us throughout this service, and you be with the pastor as he brings the message you have laid upon his heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's good to see everybody today. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. I have to say this, brother pastor. Did you know the first book ever printed in the United States, the colonies? Do you know what it was? It was the Bay Psalm Book. They brought it over with them. All those that came across the ocean brought the Bay Psalm Book. For centuries, the church has been a singing people. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together and join that song with Praise Him, Praise Him, number 149. Sing that first and second.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered. suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded unto the Lord belong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen.
You may be seated.
You may be seated. So good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You have received the Amos cookies.
Yes.
I believe they've been in an ice storm, probably up in Minnesota somewhere. But they finally arrived. And so the only thing is you cannot eat them while I'm preaching. Amen? Is that good? Well, it's a joy to be with you. We continue praying for our city. We love our city. And we are praying for revival, amen?
Amen.
That we will see something like we've never seen before. I'm excited about what God is doing in our church. And we just give God the glory. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. If you are visiting with us the first time, second time, we'd love for you to fill one of the care cards. Love to have information. If you have any prayer requests, just let us know. And we are so good. We're happy that you're here with us today. We give God all the glory. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's keep singing with number 532. 532 in your hymn book. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. On higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven. Glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
So we're going to strive to go to that higher ground. And while we're doing it, we're going to lean on those everlasting arms. Amen? Amen. Number 453. Let's stand as we sing. Number 453. Lift it up. Lift it up. Let me hear you sing it now.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning
on the everlasting arms.
What have I to dread?
What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
When I was in youth group, I heard this song for the first time, and it was an Amy Grant song. And it really just struck me. Miss Ellen said hello. It really just struck me because for the first time, I realized that God had names. It wasn't just God. He has names. And through his names, we can get to know him. So this song, El Shaddai, really kind of started my journey with really going deeper with God and learning more about his character by studying his names. So as I sing, some of the names that you'll hear are El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Elyon, God Most High. Adonai means Lord. He who is in power and has great strength. Some of the references are in the song that you can listen for. It doesn't say the name specifically, but it talks about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That name means a lot to me. El Roi, the God who sees me. Isn't that amazing that we have a God who sees us?
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekom Kon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you save the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, you turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your people free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekom Kon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, Ekam Kana Adonai, I will praise you till I die. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, by the power of the name, you're the same. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekam Kana Adonai, I will praise you till I die. El Shaddai.
On behalf of our church, we have a special presentation. I'm going to ask Brother Vic if we will come, please.
I have a presentation I'd like to present to the Pearl Stevens Elementary Teacher of the Year. Miss Katie Grail, would you come on up? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Katie Spires. I'm sorry. Katie teaches fifth graders at Pearl Stevens, and she was nominated and then selected as Teacher of the Year. Come on up here, young lady.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. You want to say anything?
I say.
Sit in. Okay.
We just wanted to know that what she does. I mean, she shares with us in our Sunday school class, but she has such a heart for these young students of hers, and she would do anything for them. And we just wanted to celebrate your accomplishments with you. So thank you so much for how you represent not only yourself but also Christ in your classroom.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. God is good. If you have your Bibles with you, we will continue our series on the minor prophets. The minor prophets are calling the whole series the minor leagues, the minor leagues. And today we're going to be in the book of Obadiah. And it's the small book, it just got one chapter. One chapter. So once you find it, it's after Genesis, and it's before Revelation, okay? It's somewhere in there. So I know it's probably a book you probably never read, or you may not know that it was in the Bible. But it is God's Word. And so we're going to, once you find it, we're going to be in verse 15. And I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for the way that you have spoken to us, the way that you have manifested yourself to us, whether it be through your word or through experiences, Father, you got our attention. And Father, we're here today. We're in your house. We have come to praise you. We have come to honor you and to give you all honor and glory. Father, we have come to hear the word. Father, may the word, Father, speak to us today. May you be glorified. Father, may you be exalted. For this is really all about you. It's not about us. I'm just thankful, Father, for the opportunity. And I humble myself before you, Father, so that you will be exalted. So it's all about you. We're just your servants. It's your church. It's not our church. It's all about you. We are thankful you woke us up this morning, Lord, so that we can be in your house. We praise you and worship you and exalt you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Super Bowl is coming. Super Bowl is here. Maybe we do not like the teams that are there right now. Maybe you would like to have another team in there. Maybe the Falcons, maybe. Maybe the Saints. I'd love for the Saints to come back. I'm sorry. But we have Kansas City and we got Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Eagles is it's a beautiful city, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. Well, today we're going to talk about brotherly love. But we're going to look at it from a different perspective. If you ever read the book of Obadiah, you probably think it's really unlovely brotherly love or unbrotherly love. And so as we continue in this series, and I really thank you so much for praying for me. You know, this is probably the first time that I'm preaching a series on the minor prophets. So I really cover your prayers. And thank you so much for staying with me. I'm sorry about the cookies. I really meant for them to be here last week. And so like I said, please, I will know if you open in the bag. We got you on speaker. So I will know. But I hope you enjoy them. I hope you enjoy them. So, brotherly love, the book of Obadiah. His name means servant of Yahweh, servant of God, servant of Yahweh. That's what his name means. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's the shortest one. And so, it's only one chapter. It's got 21 verses. That's all he has. So it's not very, very big. If you ever want to make an accomplishment to yourself and you say, I want to read a book of the Bible, you can read Obadiah. And you can say, you can check the box and say, I did it. I did it. You know, sometimes from time to time when I come back in and out of the scripture, I like to start reading the Bible again and I start reading those small books and then I go to 2 John, and then I go to 3 John, and all of those other small books, Obadiah and all of those. Great reading, just to get you motivated to be in the Word of God. Obadiah is Yahweh's judgment of Edom, which is a neighbor of Judah. His neighbor, he's right there. It says in verse 1, it says, the vision of Obadiah, this is what the sovereign God, Lord, says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy has sent to the nations to say, rise, let us go against her battle. Edom is a nation. When we look at the history of Edom, and you look at the family tree, you will come to Esau. And then when you look at Judah's family tree, you will come to Jacob. History tells us, according to Genesis, that these were twins. They were family. They were family. That's what they were. They were blood brothers. They were in the same womb, they were born one after the other. And yet God is bringing judgment into Edom. Injustice does not go unrecognized by Yahweh. I think we need to keep in mind, I know God is good and he is, and I know God is love and he is, but there's something that God does not like, and that's injustice. He does not like injustice. And so he recognizes it. And you know, God is eternal. He may remember something from 200 years ago, no problem. I forgot what I had for breakfast this morning, but not God. He never forgets. And sooner or later, as we studied last week, he drops the plumb line. Sooner or later, he does it. There were three main reasons why he wanted to bring judgment. He was bringing judgment to Edom. First of all, he was bringing judgment because of their pride. God does not like pride among his children. He was also, the second thing was, they were reaping what you sow. And the third thing was about loving your enemies. Now, why was God judging Edom? Most scholars agree that in 586 BC, when the Babylonian Empire came to capture Jerusalem, Edom actually helped. He made sure that Jerusalem was wiped out. This was his own brother. And he wanted to make sure that Jerusalem was eliminated. God did not like that. God was bringing judgment. God expected more from Edom. That's his brother. It's part of the family. And God had certain expectations, like God has expectations of us. God has expectations of you, like we have expectations of our children. We want them to behave. We want them to do right. We want them to not to be grouchy, not to be mean. We preach to them. I mean, listen, this is a Sunday sermon, but you probably preach to your kids every morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. We all do. You don't want to get a call from the teacher. Worse, from the principal. My grandmother would just whip you, that's all. Amen? How many of you remember grandmas? Said, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not coming out from work to just get you out of school because you're not behaving. But think about now as we are children of God. God has certain expectations from us. Hey, listen. We have free will. We can do it. Hey, if you want to stay home, we can stay home. If we want to live like the world lives, if we want to, there be no difference between the world and God's people, it's really up to us. But God has great and high expectations for his children. The second thing. See, they knew better. You know, God has blessed me. I know he's blessed you too. I bet you can sit right here and probably spend the rest of the afternoon counting our blessings right here. God has been good. You know it. Because God is good. All the time he's good. He's taking care of you. He's fed you. For many of us, college degree, graduate work, beautiful children, beautiful house. He's taking care of you. You can see it, even though sometimes we get disconnected, but you know God's hand is there because He is good. You know it. But you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And God has given us a lot, and He expects a lot. He expects a lot. He expected a lot from Edom. That's your brother. Esau, Jacob is your brother. I expect a lot from you. He's your brother. You need to take care of him. You need to watch over him. Call him. Text him. Make sure he's doing okay. Don't get disconnected from him. Is he in the hospital? Are you aware of what's happening with your brother? Well, Edom went completely the opposite and said, no, I want to get rid of my brother. And he did. Ooh, but God did not like that. God expects more from you and from me. You know, I shouldn't be here. I'm sure some of your stories. You should not be here either. If you could recall about 7 months ago or 8 months ago when I came in view of a call, I shared with you that I was pronounced dead at the hospital. It's probably 2 or 3 years old. So I shouldn't be here. God's given me a lot. For giving me life, just physical life, to blessing me with a wife, children, smart. I know he didn't get it from me. Serving the Lord. They fear God. But God expects a lot from me. You know, Dennis, last time I recall, you shouldn't even be here. And yet you're here. It's all because of the Lord. The Lord is good, amen? So the second thing, Edom was full of pride. They thought they were better than anyone, everyone, and anyone else. Pride will creep in if you're not careful. Next thing you know, you say, look at all that I got. Look at all that I have. It only took a spark for a $15 million home to be turned into ashes in California. Just like that. You know, the first words out of our mouth should be every morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I got a job. Thank you, Lord, that I have a house. Thank you, Lord, that I have a car. Thank you, Lord, that I have a family. Thank you, Lord, that I have a church. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, that I opened that refrigerator and things fall off. It may be expired milk, but it's full of things. It's a blessing. Thank you, Lord, that I have heat in the midst of all this cold weather. Thank you, Lord. Pride will get in. And next thing you know, you think it's all about you. It's all about you. It's really not about us. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. The pride of 3 and 4 says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home in the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? I made it. I made it now. I got it. And God says, pride. So you soar like an eagle and make your nests among the stars. From there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. He can do it. He can do it. We must stay humble before the Lord. We must stay humble. This third thing, Eden thought they could get away with it. Oh, I can just mistreat this brother of mine. I'll wipe him out and I'm good. Nobody's going to see me. But listen, even if you hide, God will find you. No one escapes the Lord. No one does. Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there, says the Lord, I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Eden lived with resentment from their birthright being stolen. It was an opportunity to get back. In Edom's heart, he said, well, since Babylon is attacking, this is my turn to wipe them out. I want them going. But you know why? Because there was resentment in the heart. There was resentment. Resentment. Even though they were twin brothers. The Lord said in Genesis 25, 23, 34, he says, for the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other older will serve the younger. And when the time came for her to give birth, there were two twin boys in her womb. The first came out and was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, the brother came out and his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Then the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. Today's day, he'd be deer hunting. Amen? While Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents, he would be coming to the classes of cooking with Gigi. Isaac, who had a taste for the wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Brunswick stew to be exact, in our days, Esau came in from the open country and famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished. That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him in selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentils too. He ate and drank, probably drank sweet tea in our days, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Resentment from stealing the birthright. inheritance and the blessings. Eden was in a perfect location to get back. All of that he had in his heart because of what Jacob had done, it was time to pay back. And he did. Small remnants was able to survive. There's always a remnant, you know, in God's history. There's always a small remnant that stays faithful to God. Even in our own days, there's still a remnant. There's still folks who really believe God is holy. There's still people who pray and call upon the Lord in the midst of our chaos that we live in. There's still a remnant. Throughout history, always God has a remnant. I hope that we will be the remnant in Fort Valley, in Peach County. That God would say, I have a remnant down there at First Baptist Church. They're faithful. They give. They love me. They serve me. They walk with me. They want to see their community come to know God. That's what they want. You know how many generations had passed, and Edom still had resentment. From generation to generation, they could have stopped it. They could have said, you know, that's just between me and my brother, my children, they don't have to live like this. But they chose not to do it. You know, there are families that don't talk to each other for generations. Not just in the biblical, but here in 2025. Because the seniors have never said, it's time to stop the resentment. It's over. It's finished. But Edom didn't do that. We have a choice to make. We can continue with the resentment. Oh, I remember he stole my cows. He got my goats out of here. He opened the gate and let them all through. I'll never forget it. And listen, son, you never forget it either, okay? They could have said, you know what? It was just three goats. It's all good. We need to live in a different setting. We want the children to play together, to make snowmen in the South. Can you imagine that? That's what we want. But rather, the children are in one house and the other ones are in the other house because the resentment continued from generation to generation to generation. You don't talk to them. A little bit of Romeo and Juliet will remember the story well. It's time to put a stop to it. It's over. We got to enjoy the life that God has given us. We got to move on. We got to be free. The Lord has made us free. We are free indeed. But it's a choice that we have to make. Edom did not make that choice. He said, I'm going to get them. I'm going to wipe them out. And the time has come. And the Lord said, I'm coming. I don't care where you hide. I don't care if you move to Michigan. I'm bringing you home, son. I don't care if you move to another country. I'll find you. God's judgment on Edom was real. Resentment, Oxford describes this as bitter, indignation at having been treated unfairly. That was it. How are we guided today is a question. How are we guided today? God's desire is to guide us through His Spirit. He doesn't want us to live by resentment. We have been free. We have a new life in Christ. We have gone from death to life. John 24:15. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are born again. We have the Spirit of God. And God does not want us to live our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ with resentment. We must cut it off. We must leave it behind. And we must move forward. He doesn't want us to live by fear. He does not want us to live by fear. Do you know that we know the Almighty God, the Omnipotent, the Creator of all, He's my Lord, He's my God. We cannot live by fear. Look what 2 Timothy says. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are walking or what they so confident affirm. He's given us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. That's what we receive from the Lord. The Lord said, you have received a spirit of power, not fear. That's what we have. God's given a spirit of fear. We cannot say, oh, I cannot do that. Paul always said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We have not received a spirit of fear. We can go out there and bring the good news to this whole city of Fort Valley. And you may say, well, we don't know. You know the neighbor who's here, brother. They got all those dogs out there. And sometimes we make the devil bigger than what he is. That everybody's got German shepherds, somebody's going to say. No, they just don't have German shepherds. They got pit bulls, too. Some people don't even have a dog. They got cats. Listen, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can win this city for Jesus. He's the all-powerful God who's with us, in us. That's who He is. God will provide. Amen? He will provide. We need to pray for our kids in school and say, you can do it, Sam. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray. You see, God is going to help us. Let's pray for your teacher. Let's pray for your class. Let's pray that God will provide someone to come and help you, mentor you. God is with us. Or you can say, yeah, you remind me of my aunt. He was never good in school. You're just like my brother. Yeah, he never made it through GED. Where is your God? God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with us. So we are to be guided not by resentment, not by fear, but His Spirit and His Word. Zechariah 4:6. So He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. not by my mind nor by the power, by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That's what he said. We need to be guided by the Spirit of God. We need to be guided. You know, John 3:8, one of my favorite verses. He said, the wind blows and you don't know where it's coming from or where is it going. He says, so is he who is born of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit and we need to submit our lives to the guidance of the Spirit of God. That's what we need to do. But also we need to be guided by the Word of God. And look at Joshua says, keep this book of the law always in your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay in the Word. We cannot live without the Word of God. We got to hear it. We got to treasure it in our heart. And we need to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. So what should we know about our God based on Obadiah? First of all, God expects his children to love each other. God expects us to love each other. Doesn't matter if I speak Spanish or English or Le Francais or Romanian. You know what binds us together? That Jesus shed his blood at Calvary. You're my hermano. You're my hermana. That's who you are. He expects us to love each other. He expects us to check on each other, call each other, email, Facebook, whatever social media we want to use. Just find out how people are doing. If you don't see somebody here that's not here this week, check on them during the week. Send them a text. I was just a courtesy call. We didn't see you in church yesterday. Are you doing okay? Is there anything we can pray for you about? Now, don't call about gossip, please. Oh, let me tell you what happened yesterday. No. Brotherly love. We need to see how each one is doing. Do you need anything? Do you need groceries? Do you need help with the water? Is there anything that I can come and do? That's what God expects of us. We are God's people. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are going to spend eternity in glory together. What else God expects of us? He says, Mark 10:31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than this. We need to love each other. We're not all the same. Maybe you like bread instead of tortillas. Maybe you like mild sauce as opposed to real hot sauce. It's all good. Maybe you voted in a different way than I did. You're still brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to love each other. we have to love each other. You know why? Because God is love. And we're brothers and sisters. Second thing, God expects his children to look after each other. I have the blessing to have our, we were in Atlanta last night, celebrating my son's birthday. And it's such a joy that our oldest son, he's almost like a dad to the little guys. He keeps them in line up there. He looks after them. I was very happy, very pleased. I saw Walmart bags. That helps me in my economy. Not a lot of eating out. They make sure the lights are on and off. And I said, that's great, son. I appreciate that. I really appreciate you taking care of your brothers, looking after them. You know, that's what God expects of us. You know, we all struggle. We all have issues. We all have imperfections. We all have different things that we're dealing with. And we're all in the same boat. And sometimes we all need encouragement. And what greater encouragement than your brother or sister in Christ? Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes all you have to do is just listen. I tell people, if you got problems listening, buy some crazy glue. Put a couple of drops. Put them on and listen. Sometimes that's all people want, just someone to listen. Maybe all they want is for you to sit there and say nothing. Just maybe bring a Kleenex. That's all they want is to cry and someone to listen. We could be that church. We can be that church. That listens to each other, that prays for each other. That we can say, I got your back. Don't worry about it. I got you. We can be that church. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Must always remember, God will not leave injustice unpunished. So is there means there's no return? Of course. Of course there is. We confess our sins to God. That's what we do. Maybe we mistreated somebody. Maybe we mistreated a child or husband or wife or a brother, a sister. We all know the story of David, what he did. He really killed somebody. He took his wife. That's what he did. And you know what he did? He wrote this Proverbs 28:13. He came to this conclusion. You know, when we study David, what do we learn from David? He's a man after God's own heart. And do you see what he said? He said, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Maybe you mistreated somebody. Maybe you mistreated a brother and sister. Maybe you mistreated a whole family. The first thing that we need to do, we need to come to the one who already knows it. That's what David did. he went and he said, I confess my sin to God. That's the first thing. Follow the biblical model. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. The biblical model is, if you have a problem with somebody, just go and talk with them. Don't bring somebody with a baseball bat. You're not going to fix anything. They're just going to call 911. It's going to get worse. You pray about it. Talk to the Lord. And then go and talk to the person. Look at them straight in the face and say, look, I'm sorry. I messed up. I didn't mean to say what I said. I was exhausted. I was tired. Whatever it may be. And make it right. Make it right. Maybe you're here today. If you have wronged a brother or a sister, maybe you're holding resentment for many years. And today, you want to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to do the school thing when crossing children. I'm going to put the stop sign way high. This resentment. It's got to stop today, right now, for the sake of the generations to come. I don't want them to live with that resentment, with that pain, with this separation. I want to be a person of peace. Maybe there's a person here. Maybe it's a person at home that you need to go and say the big word that will make a great impact. I'm sorry. I messed up. You know what God does? He restores us again. That's what he does. We have a loving God. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you, Father, for the book of Obadiah, for the message. Father, you know where we are. We don't have to say a word. You already know. Eden thought that he went up the hills and hide, that he was going to hide from you. We cannot hide from you. You know everything about it. Father, is anyone here today that does not know Christ? Today is the day of salvation. Father, I pray, Father, as the music leads us here today. Maybe today you need to give your life to Christ. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to give you a new life. Or perhaps you're here today and you have not been baptized and you would like to be baptized. You like to obey the Lord and say, God, I need to obey you and be baptized. Or perhaps you're looking for a home church and you do not have a home church. We'd love to have you to work together and serve together so we can win this city for Christ. Love to have you. Whatever decision God has laid in your heart, if you want to come to the altar and pray, please do so. You want me to pray with you? I'll be right here as the music leads us.
We stand together and sing 465.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will show. by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now.